The National Safety Council, in collaboration with the United States Department of Labor, Division of Labor Standards, presents Follow the Leader, one of a series of film presentations dealing with foremanship in safety. Follow the Leader deals especially with management and foremanship responsibility in organizing and maintaining a complete industrial safety program. The conservation of manpower is of great importance in peacetime for moral, ethical, and financial reasons. But in wartime, it's of paramount importance. It is unthinkable that the millions of American men and women, too, who daily are enduring the agonies of modern warfare, should ever be handicapped in their valiant efforts for lack of guns or planes or tanks or food or clothing or medical care. More than 7 million men comprise the armed forces of the United States. But strength lies not in numbers alone. The material we give them will ultimately decide the issue. The speed of victory and the cost of the victory in terms of lives lost is in direct ratio to the mechanized power which our war industries turn out. One way to save the lives of fighting men is to save the lives of the men and women who produce the equipment of war. Manpower losses and production time losses here at home cost double, for they cost lives of men over there in the service.
But how important is industrial safety to the production program? We've had only a few serious accidents in our plant.
Well, now, that's a natural belief. But as a matter of fact, the records show that for every 500 men employed, there are 16 lost time accidents in the average year, resulting in 1,500 days of chargeable lost time. The wastage of manpower due to industrial accidents constitutes a serious national problem. Let's try to look at it always from the national viewpoint. In 1 year, over 19,000 men and women are accidentally killed at their work. Over 70,000 more suffer permanent injuries. In 1 year, the loss of the production capacity of these workers is obviously a matter that demands the patriotic and careful thought of every executive in the country, from the president down to the straw boss. The loss doesn't end there, however. Approximately 1,700,000 more workers every year suffer injuries that keep them from their jobs, an average of 20 days each, or a total of over 34 million days of production time lost because of temporary disabilities alone. If a Nazi saboteur, or even 50 of them, could disrupt and cripple American industry to that extent, Herr Schicklgruber would give each and every one of them the Iron Cross and a pension for life to boot. Industrial accidents will be eliminated when the management of every industrial plant, large or small, becomes convinced of four important facts, all substantiated by experience. A foreman with a successful safety performance record gives us the first of these four conclusions.
Accidents don't happen. They are caused, and they can be prevented.
An experienced production engineer cites conclusion number two.
Aside from the moral or patriotic obligations, the records clearly show that it always pays in dollars and cents to prevent accidents. The direct cost alone of accidents, such as compensation payments and medical expenses, is always greater than the cost of prevention. But this is only the beginning. For the hidden costs are about four times as much as the direct costs. For example, the cost of the time lost by an injured employee, the cost of the time lost by other employees who stop work to look on or to give assistance, the lost time of foremen or other supervisors, the cost of damaged equipment, the cost of decreased effectiveness even after the man returns to work, and there are many other hidden costs. Yes, it definitely pays to prevent accidents.
The third conclusion is given by the head accountant of a company with a low accident rate.
The money you need to spend to maintain a highly effective accident prevention program is not great. Any firm, large or small, can afford it.
The fourth conclusion is voiced by the president of a manufacturing concern.
Regardless of the size of your organization or the degree of hazard involved, any firm can maintain an accident prevention program and get excellent results.
Let's review those four conclusions. Accidents can be prevented. It pays to prevent them. The cost of prevention is not large, and any firm can do it. An honest acceptance of those four conclusions is all that is necessary to inaugurate a successful safety program. Such a program, if consistently maintained, will save millions of workmen from injury in the coming war years and send more planes, tanks, guns, bullets, bombs, trucks, tons of food and wearing apparel to our fighting forces.
I'm for everything you say. Now, how do we do it?
That is the question a plant manager put to a prominent safety engineer who came on invitation to help get a complete safety program going. Let's listen in.
10 steps are necessary in starting an accident prevention program from which real results may be expected. The first of these 10 steps is management leadership. Safety must start at the top, and when it does, the man on the plant will follow the leader.
That means executive leadership?
Yes, and that means all executives, the plant manager, the superintendents, and the foreman. The manager must be enthusiastic, and he must bring his superintendents and foremen to believe in safety, just as they believe in avoiding waste or keeping up production schedules. In fact, step number 2 is the part the superintendent takes in the program. He is the field marshal who must win the support of foremen. He should keep in close touch with the safety director and actively aid in promoting the whole program. Step number 3 is to assign responsibility for safety to a safety director or other executive. Regardless of the size of the plant, one man should be directly responsible, whether employed exclusively for the job or in addition to other duties. He should be a man of many qualifications. Of course, he should know safety and be familiar with plant operations. One of the first things the safety director will undertake is an analysis of the company's accident reports for the past 2 or 3 years. This is step number 4. The facts and figures produced by such an analysis will offset the commonly held attitude that we never have any accidents.
I suppose such analyses will be valuable in many ways.
Many, Mr. Ellis, which I have not mentioned and cannot cover in this meeting. Now, step number 5. A meeting of operating executives, which includes all foremen and department heads. At this meeting, the accident prevention plan is announced, and the responsibility of each operating head made clear. The 6th step is a departmental inspection of operations conducted by the safety director and the foreman of each department.
Well, now, I'm a foreman, and I'm 100% for this program. Just what all do I do on this inspection?
A good question, Mr. Payne. Our time doesn't permit a full answer, but basically, you look for hazards. It will help to know just where accidents in the past have occurred. But a good test question to ask yourself is this. Could an accident possibly occur here?
Well, hazards, I guess, are like, oily rags piled up, or flammable liquid. Electrical defects such as open switches or exposed wiring, and unguarded machines.
Yes, and many more. Bad lighting, such as in a plant I saw recently. Also, housekeeping, defective equipment, and many other conditions which may be unsafe should be carefully inspected. Finally, as a result of each such inspection, the foreman prepares a brief report of all unsafe conditions. These reports should be carefully studied by the safety director and the superintendent, and appropriate action taken.
The operator will turn the record while we study this list of typical items to be checked on safety inspections.